Well, glory to God. You can open up your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Well, thank you. Fill me up, Lord. It's overflowing. Amen. Amen. I know that's right, too. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. And your bones. Bless you and your bones, Jesus. Amen. My God, I love our praise and worship.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, it came straight from the throne room this morning.
Yes,
yes. Man, man. Now, we were in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, last week.
Yes.
I think we covered about six, seven verses. We're going to pick it up today. I'm going to do the best I can. If I don't get to finish it today, I don't know. I'd like to say I'd finish it next week, but
yeah,
you know how that goes. Amen. It's liable to be in the air. But I was sitting there this morning, and as the praise and the worship was going on, and even though they were done worshiping and singing, it was still going.
Yes.
It was still radiating and manifesting in my spirit.
Man.
And I was talking to the Lord, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know what? I'm a broken man. I said, and I don't like it. He said, you ought to. He said, you ought to like the fact that you're broken.
Come on.
We've held ourselves together for so long that we think that's the normal.
Yeah.
But it's not the normal.
Man.
Then he reminded me, he says, when you are weak,
come on. Come on.
Yeah.
My God.
Yet are you strong.
Yes.
Amen.
God says, I need you to be weak, that my strength will manifest out of you.
Amen.
Because it's at those times that you realize that it's not you, but it's Christ in you, your hope of glory, that is supplying your every need, spiritual, physical, and financial. And sometimes because of what we see, it affects how we feel. And what we see and hear affects what we think. And it afflicts our imaginations. And it messes with our emotions. And God is trying to tell us, you can't allow these things to mess with you the way they tend to mess with you. It's important that you allow me to hold you together. As in, what is the Colossians, when we're cohered together by him. That means not only does he hold all things together, all things are cohered or stuck held together by him, but so are we.
Amen.
Especially in our minds.
Yes.
As times get worse and worse and worse and more perilous as the days go on, the battlefield is no longer in our hearts.
Come on.
But it's in our minds. Because the enemy within understands that if it can afflict your mind, it'll break your heart. And it's hard to do ministry with a broken heart. And a lot of times, you don't need anybody to break your heart. We have figured out a way to break it ourselves. I'm good at it, so I know what it's like. And so as I was sitting there, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what does this have to do with this message? He says, you know exactly what it has to do with this message. Because in order for you to be able to pour yourself into a people that is disturbed and despondent and broken and torn apart, you have got to understand what it is to be all those things.
Amen.
You can't minister life unless you have received life. You can't minister peace unless you have received peace. And God began to deal with me about this message. When Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and we're going to go to the 7th verse. If you don't remember what 1 through 6 is, you'll have to get the tape, the CD, and listen to it. Because I'm not trying to go back. Ezekiel, I will say this. Remember, Ezekiel was a broken man. He was in exile. He wasn't where he wanted to be. He wasn't where he prayed to be, but he was where God needed him to be. And a lot of times, God needs you in your brokenness. Because in your brokenness, you feel, you realize that you have to humble yourself before God. The church or the body as a whole has become self-exalted. We have become predators instead of blessers. Instead of blessing the weak, we begin to prey on the weak.
Come on now. Come on now.
Ezekiel is trying to tell them it's time out for that. As I was studying going over these last parts of this chapter, God began to show me some things, and they are so prophetic. And so original that I got excited in my spirit. Because God is trying to take us like the sun forward. He's trying to take us forward. You have to bear with me this morning. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and I behold, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, then it shall be put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. God is talking to us.
Amen.
He is talking to us. We make the statement, I take Jesus everywhere I go. You better go where he goes.
Amen.
Because we have a tendency of forgetting folk.
Yeah.
No place is safe. No place. Theaters are no longer safe. Malls are no longer safe. Police departments are no longer safe. There's only one safe place, and it's in Jesus. In the secret place of the Most High. That's your only haven. Your safe place. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was enjoined or set in order. I prophesied, pastors. I didn't prophesy with my mouth. God commanded me to prophesy with my life.
Amen.
He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded and as I prophesied. Remember, this is an Old Testament book, but it's New Testament prophetic.
Come on now.
I prophesied. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. There was a voice. And behold, a shaking. When you prophesy with your life, you can hear a voice coming from within those that you prophesy to. Yeah. Those that are discouraged, you prophesy with encouragement. Those that are broken, you prophesy with healing. Those that are brokenhearted, you prophesy with deliverance. You prophesy with your life. You can no longer allow yourself to be moved by what is going on around you. You can't allow yourself to be separated from your praise and your worship by what is going on within you.
Amen.
You have to bring these things under subjection to the very word and the power of God. It is a commandment that you prophesy. It is a commandment that you proclaim and that you herald with your walk and with your works and with your life that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And that we always say he's a soon coming king, but he's already king.
All right.
He's not soon coming. He's already here and he's already king.
Yes, he is.
So we have a reason to prophesy. We have a reason to listen to that voice, that still small voice. That anointed voice that comes when you prophesy with your life. And behold, a shaking. Ah, my shata. There's going to be a commotion.
Yeah.
Yay, for this is the commotion.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
That I have spoken. Yea, in the beginning, said God. Yea, there's a lot of substance that come forth out of your life when you walk up. Yea, I cause the commotion in other spirits. Yea, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Yea, to come together. Yea, in the agreement and the life that I have poured into your life, said God. For yea, I am a mighty God, and yea, I have all things held together by my power. And yea, I minister it, Kobobo Shaka. Yea, in your life, yea, line upon line, precept upon precept. Yea, this season and that season, yea, I am in it, and my anointing is there, said God. So when you walk into that season, yea, the victory is already there. Yea, all you have to do is hold on to my unchanging head, and I will reveal it to you. I will lead you and I will guide you. And yea, I will bring in other life, said God. Yea, that you have not seen yet, said God. So lift me up and praise me, for I am that mighty God that you speak of. I am that one that's in my people that you speak of. Yea, I am the one that's remained forever in my people that you speak of. So live and look after me, said God, and run after me, and I shall lead you and guide you as I said I would, said God.
Oh, hallelujah. Say it, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank you. So when you discern the sinew and the flesh coming upon them, when you see their lives beginning to change and to transform, because of your walk in God. Because you dare to believe God when others don't. You try to do the right things when others don't. You believe God when everything else around you is discouraging. You walk and do the desire of God in spite of yourself.
That's right.
The key.
Yeah.
We went to hear my father-in-law speak this morning at 8 o'clock. And he we touched on something that I like to jump out of the pew. And I looked around to see if anybody else heard what I heard. And nobody heard what I heard. He said it. And I don't even think he heard what I heard. He made the statement about Jesus being in the garden. And he said when he was talking to the Father, he spoke in two languages.
Ooh, Lord Jesus, come on now. Come on now. Come on.
Which he did. He spoke Abba. And then he said, Father. Folks don't understand that even in the garden, he was battling with his flesh. That's why Paul wrote it, flesh warreth against spirit, and spirit warreth against flesh. The spiritual man was calling his Father, Abba. I need you. But don't you think for one minute that that natural man ain't going to call on him too. Father, I need you too.
Come on now.
But then you caught between the rock and the hard place. Because now you have to come into the authority of your thoughts in your mind, and you have to say to yourself, I hear you, Father, Abba, I love you. And the old man going to say, Father, I love you too. But now you have to create separation. And you say, but nevertheless, I know my flesh loves you, Father, but so do God. So therefore, I'm going to do your will and not mine to show you that my spirit man is greater than my natural man, and that my love for you is more than carnal, but it's supernatural. Oh my God. So you can stir people up, but the Bible says here, but there was no breath in them. The word breath is translated life.
Right.
There was no life in them.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
They were happy about hearing about Jesus. They was excited that you believed in Jesus. But there was still no life in them.
Yeah.
Life brings forth transformation.
Yeah.
Life creates diversity.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not going to finish this today. I'll try. But there was no breath, no life in them. Mm-hmm. Then said he unto me. About this time I'm saying, okay, Lord, leave me alone. What about me? I'm in exile. I've done all you wanted me to do. I done preached to the heathen. I done raised the dead. I done called fire down. I done did all these things. Oh. I need to be redeemed. But he said unto me, prophesy.
Right.
I hear you, son, but I'm commanding you to prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
I know you hurt, but prophesy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know you're broken in your spirit, but prophesy.
Mm.
I know you don't have the finance you need, but prophesy.
Yeah.
I know it seems like the whole world's against you, but prophesy.
Right. Right.
I know there are only those in your own family that don't agree with you, but prophesy.
Yeah.
He said, I don't care what's going on, you don't have an excuse but to prophesy.
Right.
I hear you, Ezekiel, but I'm telling you to prophesy unto the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Prophesy to the spirit. Prophesy, son of man. Even though your flesh prophesy in the spirit.
Yeah.
Prophesy to the wind, O son of man. That means sometimes you got to get beside yourself.
Come on now.
You got to step out of yourself and let God be God.
I shall draw them from the north, and I shall draw them from the south, and I shall draw them from the east and from the west, saith the Lord. And they shall come together, and they shall be my body, and I shall be their leader, and I shall be their head. And I shall flow down into them, and we shall prophesy comfort and love, and exhort them to love one another, that this body may grow, that the bone may come together to the bone, that I have commanded them to come together, that they might be a part of the life that I have placed within you, that you may prophesy by that word, that you may proclaim me by that word that I have placed in your life. In spite of what you go through, in spite of the way you feel, I am the Lord your God, and I am the preeminent one. I'm the preeminent one in your life. I am the word in your life. I am the guidance that is in your life, and I shall move through you. I shall move through the bones. I shall move through the wind to cause all to come together unto me and be gathered unto me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bone is bone. We're coming together. Hallelujah. We are coming together. Amen. Prophesy to the winds. Prophesy. The two prophecies, prophesies, are different in themselves. The first prophecy has a capital P, which actually speaks of the anointed word. The second prophecy has a small p, which is very informational, because it's letting you know after you have prophesied with your anointed word, now you've got to live by the word that you just prophesied about.
Amen.
That's what gives you the ability and the authority when it says, now prophesy unto the wind or the spirit. Now you can say and call those things that are not as though they were, because now you have the authority and the power, because you're not just speaking an anointed word, but you're living in an anointed word. The word which was a word just in itself has now become a rhema, which is full of power and full of the anointing, which has the ability not to break yokes but destroy yokes. That means that when bone and substance becomes part of your substance, you have the ability, when you touch them or shake their hand, to speak a word into their spirit and command that they become light, that the breath of God breathe into them and touch their minds, touch their hearts, and touch their spirits.
Amen.
I'm about to close on this. Thus saith the Lord God. Remember, we talked about the Lord God last week. Get the CD. Come from the four winds. Come from the creative winds. The word from doesn't mean out from, but it means from within.
Right.
Come from within the creative spirit, your creative spirit. Four is the number of creative works. You are a creation, a new creation, fashioned and formed by God. So when you prophesy, believe what you say. And if you believe what you say, live the word that proceeds out of your mouth.
Amen.
Because out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will So make sure you ain't telling somebody to do something that you ain't willing to do.
Come on. Right. Amen.
Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. I want to make you understand, it's very important that we're talking to the church.
Right.
This ain't got nothing to do with the world. This is church.
Yeah, man.
This is Catholic and non-denominational and Baptist and independent and you name them. We got a whole bunch of names.
Amen.
Talking about all of us coming, becoming substance of each other's substance. Not being separated in our spirits and in our hearts because we got a name and not the same God.
Amen. Amen.
Breathe upon or within these slain. I kept looking up this word. And when I cross-referenced it and got it all together, God said, I'm going to give you the meaning of the word. Write it down. I said, but Lord, I didn't see it. He said, what are you studying? I said, prophesy. What are you doing? I'm calling upon the spirit, the winds. He said, well, listen. I know God don't talk to y'all like that. He said, if you want to act like a child, I'll treat you like one. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these that are out of hand. Out of control.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, now this is the deep part. They're out of hand and out of control because they've been smitten by somebody else's deadly intent.
Come on. Yeah. Oh my God. Right. My God.
They're not out of control because they want to be out of control. They're out of control because they've been wounded, bruised, abused, smitten. So the moment they get out of hand, we want to say, devil got them. If they could get you out of their spirit, they might make it.
Come on.
It's quiet in here. I know it ain't that many, but it's still quiet. Breathe up on these that are slain. How are you going to breathe up on them? Through you.
Yeah.
Because you are the substance that's going to revive them.
Right.
Quicken them.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I'm closing, I promise. These that are slain that they may live. Now, I don't mean that they're going to live because you done breathed in them and you done encouraged them. That means you got to do some work.
Yeah.
Right.
Man.
I coined this years ago when God was telling me, get over it. Don't take it personal. It ain't against you. They can see something in you that reminds them of something that ain't in them.
Right.
That's supposed to be in them because they've been in the same place you've been in.
Right.
So even my children, as the winds come from the four corners of the earth, as I breathe within your souls and in your spirits this breath of life, let this same life become that life that shall encourage and strengthen and fortify the souls of those that have been hurt, been bruised, and been bludgeoned, and been smitten, by attitudes and by disposition and by words. And understand that it's up to you, my people, which have been called by my name, that I shall use and I shall send forth. And you shall minister to a broken, discouraged church that's fallen by the wayside, that's running from the truth because they felt like the truth hurt them and destroyed them. But yea, my children, there shall be a love that shall manifest itself within your life, that they shall be able to reach out and touch. They shall be able to reach out and become a part of. And out of this love shall I strengthen and shall I fortify. Out of this love shall I build up my kingdom in the earth, saith the Lord. For I'm coming back for a church that's without spot or wrinkle. A church that has come together, mindsets upon mindsets, spirit with the spirit, and soul upon soul. And I shall bring forth this army, and you shall stand up exceedingly, and you shall be great in the army of the Lord. In order that they may live.
Yeah.
And look at the word breathe. I'm closing with that word. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these. The word breathe there, the italic translation for it is to inflate. Don't that take you back to the garden? The Lord breathed the breath of life into the man, and he was inflated with life. He became a life breathing soul. There are folks that are in the kingdom of God that are broken, that are torn, that have been hurt. I've talked to several of them this week. Well, I haven't really talked, I just listened. Folks, I don't know where they got my number from. Folks I haven't talked to in years upon years were calling me. Brother Andy, they were one call and thanked me for our website, the precious memories part on the website. You know, that he saw himself and he was encouraged that he saw himself. And he called and thanked me that we kept that alive. And I could hear in his spirit how broken and despondent he was. And he began to tell me why he initially left the church, because he was wounded. And he couldn't take it. And he took himself, his wife, and his children. And they've been lost. I'm not saying they don't love God. They're not trying to serve God. There's a lot of people that love God, but they're not serving God. That's why God wants you to be the substance to inflate them.
Yes.
Amen. This is a funny thing to think, reason to look at it. When you get a ball and it's inflated, you stick a pin in it and put some air in it. What becomes of that ball once it's inflated? Folks begin to use it.
Right.
And enjoy it.
Right.
But as long as it was deflated, it was nothing more than pigskin or rubber. But once it was inflated, folks forgot what it was and realized what it is.
Yeah. Amen.
Everyone stand. I'm not going to finish this.